The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Gray Oldenburg. Some crazy news happened in some college football. We're going to jump right into Gray, the big elephant in the room, so to say. Nick Saban retiring at Alabama. What were you doing when you saw this news, and did you believe it at first, even though it came from Chris Lowe?
Yeah, so I was actually driving back to Auburn and made a stop at the Chick-fil-A in Sylacauga on 280. And while I was in the line, I scrolled on Twitter, and Chris Lowe had posted like 45 seconds ago from when I saw it. He had posted that Nick Saban has told his team that he plans to retire. I was like, oh, whatever. I don't believe a second of it. As an Auburn fan, I've fallen for that way too many times. That's not going to happen. No. He's never retiring. That's never going to happen. So I go through the Chick-fil-A line. I get my food, and then I'm at the light to turn back on to 280. I'm sitting there like, well, I don't know if that account was real or not, or if he was being serious. So let me actually go back and check real quick on Twitter. And by that time, CBS, On3, Pro Football Focus, ESPN, SportsCenter, all of them had posted that Nick Saban has told his team that he plans to retire and stop coaching, and Alabama's head coaching job is open. And I was, as an Auburn fan, I rejoiced a little bit, but then I was like, whoa, like this is huge college football news. Obviously, Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. Don't ever come at me with the Bear Bryant crap. Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. 7 national championships, 6 with Alabama, 1 with LSU. He is the greatest college football coach of all time. As an Auburn fan, and been an Auburn fan my entire life, I've never liked where Nick Saban has coached, but I've always had mad respect for Nick and Miss Terry, and what he's done at Alabama has been amazing. But it's over. Thank goodness for us Auburn fans and for the rest of the SEC. The Saban dynasty is done, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this Alabama dynasty is done. Obviously, I know we're going to talk about their new hire and them moving forward, but this is obviously huge, huge news. Biggest news we've gotten in a long time.
Yeah, for me, I was doing homework and I saw the message come up on, I think, ESPN that said he had retired. I was like, you know what? Let me finish this homework. There's no way that's real. And sure enough, I get done with the homework. And I'm like, okay, let me go check it. And then I go look on Twitter. All the Alabama sports accounts are posting. All these Alabama sports writers I follow are posting about it. And I'm like, yeah, he's retired. And it was a sad sight because I don't know Alabama football without Nick Saban. Because when he was hired, it was 2007. So I was 5 years old at the time. So I don't know anything else aside of Nick Saban on the sideline for Alabama football. I never got to be around for the Mike Shula days. Gladly. It's just gonna be weird seeing the new guy that they just hired, Kalen DeBoer, the guy from Washington, on the sideline instead of Nick Saban. So, Gray, let's hop right into the Nick Saban or the Kalen DeBoer hiring from the head coach from Washington this past year. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that hire? Do you think Alabama made the right decision with it?
You know, I really don't know, and I really don't think we'll know until 2 or 3 years down the line. And that's how it is for most coaching hires nowadays, with NIL, with the transfer portal, with recruiting and how much experience and, you know, everything combined into what it makes college football and college sports in general, but specifically college football in this case, what makes it all come together. We're not going to see that in year one from Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. Obviously, this is a guy who knows how to win, but has not coached at a place like Alabama. You can compare Washington all you want to Alabama. That's a load of crap. No, not at all. And then before Washington, he coached 2 years at Fresno State, turned Fresno State around very, very well. Before that, he was a Division II NAIA coach, and he had tremendous success. But this is a whole nother level. Coaching not just for the University of Alabama, but being the successor of the greatest coach ever to walk the sidelines of a college football campus, a college football field. And it's going to be tough for Kalen DeBoer. I think, a lot of the discussion was, did Alabama miss? Did Alabama whiff on their main guy? Was Kalen DeBoer their main guy that they wanted to go after? I think Kalen DeBoer was third on Greg Byrne's list. I think he's been eyeing Kalen DeBoer for the past year, you know, watching him, what he's done at Washington. Of course, he's had a tremendous success, went to the national championship game this past year, was very, very good. You know, you can put that as much on Ryan Grubbs. You can put that as much as on Michael Penix. You can Dylan Johnson, that incredible receiver room, how old they were this year and how successful they were. But Kalen DeBoer did a great job at Washington. I think they missed on Dan Lanning, and I think that they missed on Steve Sarkisian. But I don't think those two guys had any interest in – I think those two guys are fine where they are. People are saying that they missed on Lane Kiffin or missed on Dabo or missed on Mike Norvell. I don't think those guys were over Kalen DeBoer in this race. I think they probably should. Just, you know, right now, looking back, I think Mike Norvell should have probably been over Kalen DeBoer. But – you know, Jimmy Sexton is going, the agent of all of his coaches, he's going to use this to his best ability to get all of his guys raises. That's what he did at Oregon with Dan Lanning. That's what he did at Texas with Steve Sarkisian. It's definitely what he did with Mike Norvell. And he got a 10-year contract at Florida State. But I think this Kalen DeBoer hire is interesting, but we're not going to know if this was a successful hire or not for at least 3 years. And that's going to be the biggest thing. Alabama fans don't know anything besides success. These past 16 years has just been an incredible run with Nick Saban. Kalen DeBoer is not Nick Saban. He's not. And Alabama fans are going to have to understand that. They're going to have to give him time to get this program back to where these Alabama fans expect this program to be and where Alabama should be. But it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard with the change. You know, a change is always hard for a football program like that. That's why you need time. But I don't think we'll know if it was the right hire or not for a good while.
Yeah, I think with any hire in college football or in the NFL, you got to have patience with them. I think I mentioned it multiple times in the past year or so, especially with the Matt Rhule hiring in Nebraska. You got to be patient with them. Kalen DeBoer, fans are going to be a lot less patient with him if he's not in the college football playoff in year one. I know it's expanded to 12 teams. People in Alabama are going to want his head there, want him out the door. But I think there's got to be some semblance of patience from the fans here. I think this team is talented enough as it stands, and the coaching staff, it looks like he's bringing in, to make the college football playoff in the 12-team format. The success they have in that is, I don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe they have it, maybe they don't. But regardless of what happens, you still got to stay patient with this guy. It's going to be year one. Rarely do coaches come into a college football program and win year one. Saw Hugh Freeze at Auburn, didn't do a lot of good things year one, but you saw a lot of good things off the field with the recruiting wise. So there's a lot of bright things at the Auburn there. And I think Kalen DeBoer, it's going to take him probably a year or so to get that recruiting up, figure out what's going on, and sort of get Alabama back to prominence. And it's going to take a lot of work, but I think he can do it. But you kind of mentioned the other candidates, Gray, the guys like Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Dan Lanning. I'm not saying there's a right time to retire for Nick Saban, but this was not the greatest time to retire if you're wanting to go hire one of those guys. Because you look at Sarkisian, Texas is now starting to find success under him, make the college ball playoff. Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin, they're projected to be one of the best teams in the country next year, maybe the best team in the SEC West, so to say, because I don't think they're doing divisions next year now. So that he doesn't really want to leave that program. Then you look at Dan Lanning at Oregon. He's got a lot of money behind him. Oregon's continuing to find success. They're going to get over that hump, hopefully, against Washington, and they're moving to the Big Ten. So they're going to be in a big conference now. So I think it really wasn't the right time to retire for Nick Saban, but there never really is a right time to retire if you're Nick Saban, because it's just going to be a rough thing for Alabama to move on from the legend himself, because there was never a coach like him before him. There's never me coach like him after him. I'm sorry. He's one of a kind. There's no replacement for him.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the biggest thing is Alabama fans and, you know, fans around college football are going to have to understand that, like, this is not Nick Saban. Even if you've gone out and gotten one of those guys like Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian, Mike Norvell, Lane Kiffin, guys like that, they're not Nick Saban. And Kalen DeBoer is definitely not Nick Saban. And you know, Bama fans are going to have to understand that. They're going to have to put their resources behind him. Obviously, recruiting is the biggest thing with this hire. I think this is the biggest wild card with this hire. Kalen DeBoer is going to be either an awesome recruiter or he's going to get out-recruited by every coach in the Southeast right now who is on the upward trajectory of recruiting and has been able to build relationships, especially with these 24 and 25 guys coming in very soon. That is going to be the trajectory for this Alabama program under Kalen DeBoer. So I do think he's behind in terms of recruiting. I do think the lack of experience in the Southeast concerns people. We've seen that really happen. Auburn fans know that very, very easily with Brian Harsin.
But Kalen DeBoer and Brian Harsin are two different people.
I think Florida fans are seeing that with Billy Napier. You're not having enough connections in the Southeast. I know he coached and was very good at UL Lafayette, but he did not have the SEC connections. He is, they call him Group of Five Billy for a reason. All right. You know, I don't believe Kalen DeBoer is that type of guy. I think it's just going to take time for him to adjust and to kind of get into what Alabama expects Alabama to be. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's just managing expectations and giving him time.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest worry with Kalen DeBoer is when I saw him being listed on the odds of like the next Alabama head coach was he doesn't have a lot of Southern connections, SEC connections. Is this going to be Brian Harsin 2.0? Then I was like, no, Kalen DeBoer made the college football playoff. He attacked the portal really well. Brian Harsin at Boise State, he didn't really do a whole lot. He didn't make the college football playoff at Boise State. So they're two different people. And then I also look at the staff that's been somewhat confirmed to be be a DeBoer for Alabama. He has general manager Courtney Morgan, who was with him at Washington. And from what I've heard and what I've seen on social media and from all these guys that work in sports media and all that is Courtney Morgan is a huge, huge deal for Kalen DeBoer to bring to Alabama. He is a great recruiter. He did great things when he worked for DeBoer at Michigan, Washington. And then when he worked at Michigan before joining DeBoer at Washington, he basically helped build that team that won the national championship this year. Mm-hmm. He recruited guys like Mason Graham, who, from what I've researched, was not highly recruited coming out of high school. I believe he was a three-star recruit. And then you see what he did against Alabama and Washington. And then you look at Will Johnson. He got him to go to Michigan. And there's a lot of other guys on that roster that Courtney Morgan helped get. So I think bringing him to Alabama is a huge deal. And it's already been reported that Morgan has done huge things on the recruiting front and keeping these guys on the team staying in Tuscaloosa. So I think that's a great hire or guy to bring down from Washington. Some other guys confirmed on that staff are offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, who Alabama tried to get last year from Washington, but ends up getting him anyways this year. Wide receivers coach DeMarcus Shepherd from Washington. He worked with guys like Roma Dunze, Jalen Polk, and Jalen McMillan. Tight ends coach Nick Sheridan. Offensive line coach Scott Huff. Both those guys being from Washington. I'm glad to see a new offensive line coach coming in because, good Lord, the offensive line coach for Alabama the past couple of years has been pretty horrid. And Scott Huff coached the Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. Director of scouting, Jarrett McElwain coming from Washington. Funny enough, he is related. I believe he's the son of former Alabama assistant Jim McElwain. Then DeBoer is going to also retain the defensive line coach Freddie Roach and then running backs coach Robert Gillespie. So I think retaining those two guys from Nick Saban's previous staff are a big deal. Gray, any thoughts on what Kalen DeBoer has done so far with the staff? And do you have any thoughts on the lack of a defensive coordinator being named yet?
Well, thoughts on the staff that he's, as of this moment, as of we're recording this right now, he's somewhat confirmed, you know, that nothing's been posted or anything, but these are the guys that I think him bringing as many guys as he had, under him at Washington is the biggest thing you could possibly do. Obviously retaining guys who are, have built massive relationships with not only this team, but recruits in the Southeast and retaining guys like running back coach Robert Gillespie and bringing back Roach as well for the defensive line. That's big, but bringing in your guys that know your philosophy and know your offense, especially like Ryan Grubb, bringing him in, that's huge. That's huge. That way, you know, Kalen DeBoer doesn't have to go out and completely redo his offense. He can just kind of mold the offense that he had tremendous success at Washington with and mold it at Alabama with the same coaches and kind of just shift, I guess. The lack of defensive coordinator, I think, is only because Alabama really wanted to retain T-Rob, Tavarius Robinson, their defensive back coach, as a defensive coordinator. But Kirby Smart took advantage of that and went and coached him to come join the Georgia staff. But I don't think it's going to take very long. I think Kalen DeBoer knows that he needs to get his full staff as quickly as possible. That way, because he's got recruiting to do. And not just recruiting of the 2024, 2025, 2026 players, but recruiting of his own team. He's got to recruit these guys because Alabama, I know the transfer portal is closed, but the Alabama team has opportunities for the next 30 days after Nick Saban retired to enter the transfer portal because of that retirement. We've seen a lot of guys enter the transfer portal already. We've seen some guys decommit already. And you want to preface this to Alabama fans, that's going to happen. Your head coach, who's been there for what, 16, 17 years? 17 years, just retired. That's going to happen. You're going to get transfers. You're going to get decommits. You're going to get guys that get better opportunities elsewhere that don't want a new coach. They want to go get recruited by a new coach. You know, we saw that with Isaiah Bond already. We're seeing that with the two five-star wide receivers in the 2024.
Be glad Nathan's not here.
Ryan Williams and Jamie, is it French? Is it just French? Because he's got two
F's. I don't know.
I think it's just French. But not only is Kalen DeBoer, this is what I meant by he's behind. He's behind because not only does he have to recruit these guys and retain them and keep them out of the transfer portal and keep this team together, but he's also got to get and catch up with guys like Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Mike Norvell, Steve Sarkisian, guys that are already have built these incredible relationships with these guys because they're the coach there. So that's why I think he's behind, but he understands that he needs his staff as quickly as possible. He also understands the importance of retaining the guys at Bama while also bringing in guys that know his philosophy and know what he wants to do from Washington.
Yeah, I think we're retaining the current players on that roster are going to be a difficult thing for him. I know a lot of players have bought in already, like quarterback Jalen Milroe, Malachi Moore. I believe somebody like Deontay Lawson also has Jihad Campbell. There's a couple other guys here and there that have really bought into what Kalen DeBoer has already talked to them about and brought into that program. But you kind of mentioned it, Gray. Isaiah Bond already transferred to Texas. Yeah, guys, cornerbacks Des Ricks and Antonio Kite entered the transfer portal. Then tied into Amari Nyblack. It's reported he's planning to enter the transfer portal. And then wide receivers, Ryan Williams in 2024. And then in 2025, Jamie French, both decommitted. So losing some guys there, the wide receiver room's getting pretty thin if somebody like Ryan Williams doesn't commit. Because as of right now, let me see here, wide receiver room for Alabama consists of Kendrick Law, Kobe Prentice, Emmanuel Henderson, Jalen Hale, Cole Adams, Jared Hamilton, Amari Jefferson, Rico Scott, and Aaron Hampton. It's that might be one of the thinnest wide receiver rooms Alabama's had in a minute. So hopefully they can recruit really well, some like Ryan Williams, and maybe pull some guys out of the portal. But also, they bring in their wide receiver coach from Washington, DeMarcus Shepherd, and he saw what he did with the wide receivers up there in Washington, Rumba Dunze, both the Jalen. So I think if anybody can get stuff out of the guys currently on the roster, it'll be somebody like Shepherd. So we'll see how that wide receiver room turns out and how this portal situation plays out for Alabama.
Yeah, I think the wide receiver room is going to be the biggest thing for Alabama this year. And because of the loss of Bond, because of the decommits, because of the little bit of worry. I mean, you don't have Nick Saban anymore. And you're seeing these teams like Texas and like Florida State and like Auburn get these wide receivers, all of a sudden are building these wide receiver rooms. You know, the Texas wide receiver room, I mean, was pretty good last year, but they weren't the normal Alabama wide receiver room that we've seen. Same thing with Florida State. Had a really good wide receiver room this year with Keon Coleman. They're not what we saw with Alabama, especially back in the late 2010s. And you're seeing Auburn's bringing in the number one wide receiver class in the country, whether to get Ryan Williams or not. So I think that's going to be the big thing for DeBoer and for Shepard, not only what Shepard can do with the wide receivers that he has currently on the roster and retaining those guys, no matter, Bond's gone. What can he do with the guys that he has in the offer in the room right now, like Kendrick, like Law, and like Kobe Prentice, like those guys, but also what can he do in the recruiting front? Can he go and get Ryan Williams back? Can he go and get French back? What can he do in the 2025 class other than French? Because that's going to be the biggest thing, because they're going to have to throw the ball. You know, Ryan Grubb's going to throw the ball. Jalen Milroe is not going to be, he's going to run because he's Jalen Milroe, but you're going to see the Washington offense come to Alabama. This isn't, you're not going to see the Tommy Rees, you know, fourth and three quarterback draw play. That fourth and three is probably going to be a RPO this year, because that's what Ryan Grubb did at Washington. That's what he's used to doing. That's what he had success with Michael Penix. I know Jalen Milroe is not the thrower that Michael Penix is, but he could be. He's not much worse.
Accurate. I'll say that.
He's not as accurate as Penix. I'd say he's got a very, very strong arm. He's very, very good, very, very talented and experienced. I mean, that's another big thing. Retaining Jalen Milroe is huge. That changes the entire outlook of this team next year.
As long as he keeps Julian Sain, I think Alabama fans will be happy too, because they'll look forward to Julian Sain coming in when Jalen Milroe heads to the NFL, whether that be this upcoming year or the next year. They want to see Julian Sain get his chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
To sort of talk about Washington here, they had to go out and hire a head coach pretty quickly because Kalen DeBoer was gone, and they were sort of in that scramble mode that Alabama was in when Nick Saban retired. And Washington, I think, did a pretty good job here hiring Arizona head football coach Jed Fish to replace DeBoer. Any thoughts on Washington hiring Jed Fish from an Arizona team that was really expected to be good this year?
Yeah. I think Washington got kind of thrown into a fire pit because their head coach just decided to leave, which sucks for Washington, especially but with them going to the Big Ten now. But I think they did do pretty good with this hire. Get a coach as quickly as possible. Allow him to move his staff in as quickly as possible. I think Jed Fish has a chance to be pretty good at Washington. He's not Kalen DeBoer. He's not what they had established at Washington this past year, going to the national championship game. And I know people are looking at Jed Fish's record at Arizona, like 16-22. That's not very good. The improvement from this past season that we saw from Arizona is the reason he's the now head coach at Washington, because Arizona was projected to be pretty good this upcoming year. I'm excited for this hire. I'm excited to see how it works, not just for Washington, but Washington's move to the Big Ten, and see how that kind of transfers.
Yeah, I think they nailed this hire. I like Jed Fish as a coach, like we did at Arizona this year. Players bought into what he was doing. Players were behind him. I mean, interesting to see what Noah Fifita, the quarterback he had last year, and wide receiver Tatora McMillan do, if they follow him to Washington, if they transfer somewhere else, if they stay at Arizona. I'm interested to see what they do, because Washington really doesn't have an ingrained quarterback, so it'd be easy for Fifita to go over there and get that starting job, and same with McMillan at the receiver position.
For sure. Sure.
All right. As I mentioned last week, we have a special guest on the show, Jeff Spiegel, the sports director and sports caster for the weeknights at ABC 3340 here in Alabama. I'm glad to see he is on the Zoom with us today. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Spiegel.
Yeah, really sorry I'm 45 minutes late. That's not usually the way I like to do business, but I got in here and I got wrapped up doing something else. And Alex, I sincerely apologize.
It is all good. It is all good. Just glad you're here today.
Yeah. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Really good. Am I too dark here? I look like I'm in the witness protection.
No,
you're good.
You're good. Hey, Mr. Jeff. So my name is Gray, and I just wanted to kind of get this rolling, get us in a discussion. First kind of question that I want to ask you is, what made you decide to become a sportscaster and follow into that journalism's that realm that is the sportscasting world?
Well, this is what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. I grew up watching you know, the legendary guys like Keith Jackson on TV. And then I grew up watching sportscasters in the Birmingham market, like, you know, Herb Winches, Ken Lass, Scott Palmer, those guys. And I said, that'd be something I would really like to do. And then, you know, I said, there's no way I could do that. I didn't have a lot of self-confidence or belief in my own abilities at that time. And so I said, I'm going to go the safe route. I'm going to major in accounting and I'm going to crunch numbers in that realm rather than crunch like passing yardage and rushing yardage and all that stuff. And so I went into accounting at Jacksonville State University, most miserable 2 years of my existence. It was not fun. I didn't like it. So I had a conversation with my dad. And I said, Dad, I have no idea what I want to do. I know what I want to do, but I don't think I can do it. And he was really cool about it. He said, look, you can do whatever you want to do. You got a lot of abilities. Chase whatever you want to do. We'll support you however we can. But the one thing that you need to remember is if you're going to work for a living and you will be working for a living because you're not independently wealthy, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of time at work. So it needs to be something you can get up and be fired up about and enjoy doing. And I said, that's it, man. I'm chasing this and I'm doing this. And so that's what I've been chasing ever since 1981. You know, I've been chasing this. So, and loved every minute of it.
All right, let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room here. What was your initial reaction to hearing the news Nick Saban retired last Wednesday?
Shocked. I was really shocked. I mean, you know, I looked at him on TV this year and he didn't seem to have the same fire and the same, you know, the same energy, you know. But then again, I thought, at 72 years old, I mean, how many people have the energy at 72 that they had at 52, you know? But at the same time, you looked at the year Alabama had and 12-2, winning the Iron Bowl the way they did, winning the SEC championship, beating number one Georgia, getting to the playoff. I thought it was maybe the best coaching job he's ever done. And I told everyone I knew that would listen, I said, dude's got a lot of gas left in the tank. I think he's going to coach at least two or three more years. 2:30 Wednesday afternoon, a young lady who works here, who's an Auburn grad, said on Auburn University Twitter, they said there's a team meeting in Alabama. Nick Saban's going to retire. And there was another guy here in the office with me, and we laughed at him. We laughed at him. I mean, because we didn't think it was true. 4:07 is when I heard the news, and I was shocked. But the more and more I processed it, especially after the interview that he did with Reese Davis, the more and more I understood that, yeah, I mean, he was ready to leave. And in my opinion, the dude went out on top.
So how do you think that's going to impact the football program and the university as a whole in Alabama?
Well, I think the transfer of power went over pretty smoothly, you know, on Saturday. I think it was important that Nick Saban was there. I think it was important that Terry Saban was there. I think it was important that they were on the front row, you know, while Coach DeBoer was speaking. I think it's important that DeBoer is willing to let Saban have 100% access. And this is not going to be a situation where Nick Saban is meddling with a football program. That's not what he's going to do. If DeBoer has any questions, the guy's at Bryant Denny Stadium. He's very accessible. He can ask Nick Saban anything he wants to know. But Nick Saban's not going to go into DeBoer's office and go, hey, here's the way I did things. This is the way you should do things. Here's the way I did things. I won 6 national championships. You need to listen to me. That's not what Nick is going to do at all. Nick is going to be available for Coach DeBoer if he needs him, but he's not going to stick his nose in DeBoer's business.
So what are your thoughts on the Kalen DeBoer hire from Washington?
I love it. I mean, I just like Nick said, I think he's one of the brilliant offensive minds. And I think offenses are the way the college football game is going. I love the way that they were throwing it and catching it with Michael Penix Jr. and Roma Dunez and then Odunze, I'm sorry, and Jalen McMillan. I mean, that offense was really cooking. They were 73rd in passing offense in 2021. And when DeBoer came over with Ryan Grubb, who Nick Saban tried to hire a year ago as offensive coordinator, they went from 73rd in passing offense to leading the nation in passing offense with Penix, and then second in the nation last year and in the national championship game. This is a guy who won a boatload of Coach of the Year awards. This is a guy who I think his trajectory is on the way up. We haven't seen the level of greatness that he's going to achieve yet, and I think he's going to achieve that at Alabama. I sincerely believe that.
So we talked a lot about expectations earlier in the show, especially for Alabama fans who have really only known Nick Saban and the greatness of Nick Saban at Alabama. What are your expectations, especially early in Kalen DeBoer's career, recruiting-wise, success-wise, what this team's going to look like? What are your expectations for Alabama under Kalen DeBoer?
Well, there's going to be a transition period, and every transition period is, you know, has its share of difficulties and challenges. You know, Kalen DeBoer is going to coach differently than Nick Saban did. But all reports that you get out of Seattle was that, you know, he's a player's coach. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who, like Saban, you know, wants his players to be, you know, hold themselves accountable. You know, that there's going to be a reckoning, you know, if they don't do things, you know, the way that they need to do it. There's some things that he talked about at his press conference that are non-negotiable. That, you know, they're going to play with physical toughness, you know, but they're also going to play with mental toughness. Mm-hmm. And those things, he said, are non-negotiable. And, you know, you listen to him speak and, you know, it kind of sounds like Nick Saban. It sounds like the mentality, you know, you want, you know, the next Alabama coach to carry over. You know, he's an offensive-minded guy. Nick Saban was a defensive-minded guy. But this guy also has a history of hiring a pretty good staff. I mean, the offensive coordinator is on point. I mean, he's really good. He's one of the best in the business. The receivers coach, the offensive line coach, they won the Joe Moore Award, you know, for best offensive line in the country. So he's got staff members who know what they're doing, and I'm pretty sure they can recruit. So I think the recruiting classes are going to be, you know, ranked in the top 10. They'll continue to be ranked in the top 10. And I'm excited to see, you know, what he brings to the table when he's in his element, when he's coaching and his in-game coaching, because, you know, 25-3 last 2 years at Washington, that's pretty good evidence that the guy knows what he's doing.
All right. Transitioning here to some college basketball, Alabama and Auburn are both undefeated in SEC play at 3-0, the only undefeateds left in the conference. And both recruiting at high levels and have the high expectations year after year of making the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts on what Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl have done at these programs of driving basketball in the state of Alabama?
Well, what Bruce Pearl has done has been pretty amazing. He's in his 10th year at Auburn, and you know, I kind of feel about Bruce the way I felt about Nick. You know, when Nick got the job at Alabama, how many? Raise your hand if you expected him to be there 17 seasons. I mean, no one did. I mean, no one expected. I mean, a lot of people, you know, in my line of work thought, yeah, he's going to be here. He's going to be here 3 or 4 years. Then he's going to go to Texas or he's going to go back to the NFL, you know, or something like that. But the guy stayed 17 seasons. And with Bruce Pearl, it's the same way. I thought, well, he's going to be here. He's going to rehab his coaching career. He's going to, you know, win some games, and then he's going to go off somewhere else. But Bruce Pearl is invested in Auburn basketball. And so here he is in his 10th year, and he's on track to having, you know, one of his best teams. I mean, they look very much Final Four material. And forget about the ranking. Forget about the KenPom or anything like that. One of the important stats that I think you need to look at with this team is assist to turnover ratio. And they are sixth in the nation when it comes to that. Meaning they got great guard play. Yeah. And you know what you have to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament? You got to have great guard play. That's been that way forever in college basketball. And that's what Auburn's got going on right now. And as far as Alabama goes, I think Nate Oates has finally gotten through to his team that, you know, guys, you got to play defense. I don't care how much you score. You got to play defense. And you got to get on the boards. You got to do the dirty work. You got to get the blue-collar points. They out-rebounded Mississippi State by 16 on the offensive end. And rebound is one of those effort stats. You know, you can't stand around and wait for a rebound to come to you. You got to go get it. And so I think his team is getting that the fact that, you know, they got to get dirty. They got to get their nose bloodied because, you know, you're in the SEC and you know, what you want, you got to go get.
Yeah, so after watching Alabama this far this season, what are your thoughts on the team and what are your expectations for them going forward?
Well, I mean, I love Mark Sears. I mean, I think everyone does. I think he's even exceeded expectations in terms of, you know, taking this team on his back and being the go-to guy. He had 22 points on Saturday. I think he still leads the SEC in scoring. And then they got a lot of guys. Ryland Griffin has stepped up and has been playing really well. And the main thing with them is they're going to be able to score points. They just got to keep defending on a consistent basis. And if he can continue to instill that in his team and continue to get them to believe and value that part of the basketball game, then I think they can go far because they have a lot of talent. And of course, we're only three games in and there's a long way to go, but I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, kind of asking the same question, but on the Auburn side, what do you expect them to do moving forward? You've seen how deep they are, how good a guard play they've got, how old they are, the type of experience that they have. What do you expect them to do moving forward?
Well, first game out, I mean, they went over to Arkansas to Bud Walton Arena, and that's not a place where you can go and win very easily. Mm-hmm. And they won by, like, I think 32 points or something like that. It was insane. And so that led you to believe that, you know, they're not just a Neville Arena team. They're not a team when they leave Neville Arena, they just turn weaker than water. I mean, when you go on the road and you can do stuff like that, and there are going to be many more tougher road environments for them, you know, to play in and tougher basketball teams than that. But when you can do that, when you can come right out of the gate, you can, you know, you can punch Arkansas in the nose and then they, you know, retreat to their corner and kind of just give up. Now, that's a pretty good sign of a good basketball team. So, I mean, from what I've seen so far and just looking down the road and looking at them and how they're made up and how they're responding and how they're playing, I mean, I think the ceiling is, you know, is the Final Four. And, you know, once you get to the Final Four, you can win it all. So I think this is a team that can certainly do that.
Yeah, so kind of switching gears here again. So obviously new era of college sports, new era, NIL, transfer portal. We got collectives, you know, conference realignment, everything that comes with college sports. What are your thoughts on the ever-changing world and ever-changing landscape of college sports, not just college football, but college basketball, everything that comes with the NCAA and college sports?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of the name, image, and likeness and the portal. I understand that, you know, for a long time that players were giving a lot and not getting enough in return, you know, in their eyes. And I don't mind them getting money. I mean, it's not that. I'm not gonna, you know, sit here and say we should go back to, you know, players not getting paid. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be some guardrails here. I mean, there's got to be somebody who's going to step in and say there's got to be some kind of cap. I don't know if we need to go to salary cap like we do in pro sports, but I mean, it's just got all the looks of, you know, just ruining the college game. And I hate to be that guy, you know, who says that the, you know, NIL is going to be the death of college sports, but I don't know. I think it's part of what got Nick Saban out of coaching. I mean, he was on the Pat McAfee show a week ago, and he said he's talking to, when he talks to coaches about, you know, where they want to go with their career, he said, it's a whole lot more fun to coach in the NFL than it is in college right now. Mm-hmm. because there are just so many things for college coaches to have to balance and fight. And you know, all of a sudden, you know, you got guys on campus, you know, who are going, who want to, you know, charge money to visit, you know, to make recruiting visits. And it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous where it's headed. And it's not headed to a good place.
Yeah, it's a dangerous world that we're jumping into, for sure. Awesome, Jeff. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Let everybody know where they can listen to you and see your amazing work that both of us, Alex and I, grew up listening to.
Oh, man, I really do appreciate you guys. Yeah, ABC 3340 is where I work. You know, it's been a fun gig, and, you know, I'm on at 4:30, 6, and 10. And then we do this really cool show on Sunday nights at 10:30 called The Zone, me, Doug Segrest, and Ryan Brown from The Next Round. And we do that Sunday nights at 10:30 on ABC 3340. And, you know, a lot of fun and always fun to be with you. Again, sorry for the lateness, and I would love to come back on with you and talk sports again soon.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Spiegel.
You got it, man. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
All right.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.